In Florida this weekend, IndyCar racers will take their places for the first competition since the death of a champion. Last fall, two-time Indy 500 winner Dan Weldon was killed in a 15-car crash on a Las Vegas track.
Open the up in front of him, and he... Oh, here we go. Trouble contact and a huge crash. Up in turn number two. Oh, multiple cars involved.
Weldon's death, seen live on ESPN, generated a major debate in the sport about safety. Here to talk more about it is Ryan McGee. He's the senior writer for ESPN, the magazine. And Ryan, to begin, tell us, what are the factors that are believed to have caused the crash that ended Dan Weldon's life?
Well, unfortunately, it was just kind of a perfect storm scenario, and it's something that a lot of people had kind of feared down in their gut for a while, which is when you take these cars, which have big, giant, exposed tires, and you have them racing in close quarters on a high-banked racetrack, primarily built for stock car racing, everybody knows that once those exposed tires touch, you have the potential for catastrophe.
So, Ryan, what are some of the safety precautions or changes that the league has made as a result?
Well, the biggest thing that you can see immediately is with the race car itself. They call it open-wheel racing, because those tires have always been exposed, going all the way back to the first IndyCar races at the turn of the last century. Well, now those rear tires are essentially covered. They're still exposed on the top half, and now there's a rear bumper that goes around behind those tires. And the important thing to know here is this car is called a DW12 for Dan Weldon, his initials. And the reason is because IndyCar brought Dan in to be the test driver to shake down all these potential new chassis. And it's the irony of ironies, and it's sad, but ultimately I think his legacy will be that he's the driver that put this car on the racetrack.
Now, shortly after the race that killed Dan Weldon, we spoke to one of the racers who survived the crash. His name is Will Power, and he spoke about the dangers of racing the old-style car, Indy cars, on NASCAR tracks.
These high-banked ovals, you run 200 laps, inches apart, side by side, two wide, three wide, six deep. It's too fast and too close. Pack racing Indy cars, it's just no room for error, and there's just no question that something has to change.
That's racer Will Power talking about IndyCars racing on NASCAR tracks, specifically high-banked, oval-shaped tracks. Ryan, why the attachment to NASCAR tracks?
Well, they're exciting, and it's dangerous, and that's part of the thrill of it for race fans. But at the end of the day, you're talking about cars with exposed tires where the driver's head is exposed, and they're racing, in some cases, 30 miles per hour faster than a NASCAR stock car is. And Will made a comment. He said high-banked, and he talked about pack racing. The idea was that Indy cars would run down on the flat part. Well, of course not. The fast groove is up on the high banks. That's where they're always going to run. And so that's where they're going to be, and they're going to be in a pack, and it creates dangerous situations. So that's why they're starting to get away from that now.
And there's still five races scheduled for NASCAR tracks this year, correct?
Five races on ovals, that's right. But I would only classify one of those five ovals as a quote-unquote NASCAR track, and that would be the Texas Motor Speedway. And it's banked, has high banks. And in the past, open-wheel racers have said this is a dangerous place, and now they have fuel for that argument. And there's concern that there could be some sort of boycott or walkout. We'll see. Perhaps cooler heads will prevail when we get to Texas in June. But I know for a fact the folks that run that speedway are worried about what could potentially be a walkout when we get to next June.
Ryan McGee, he's senior writer for ESPN, the magazine. Ryan, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.